Now today our study in the book of the Revelation takes us into chapter 20. Now I want to read to you the first 10 verses of this chapter. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, coming to Thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts before Thee reverently. We recall that the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And so we approach Thee now in Thine own appointed way. We give Thee thanks for Thy kindness to us and for all Thy blessings bestowed upon us. But now we do ask that as we have been reading again these solemn things written in Thy Word, that we may be able to comprehend such things, and above all that our lives may be molded according to the truths that have been revealed. Be with every listener now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in coming to chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation, I might make mention of this, that this is one of the great chapters of the Bible. It presents, in summary, the tremendous series of events which relate to the millennial reign of Christ on earth. Now, I have only read to you the first 10 verses of the chapter, and we hope to deal with the final verses of the chapter in our next lesson. But in the 10 verses I have read, here is how we want to view these things. First of all, in the first 3 verses, we have the restraint of Satan. Then verses 4 through 6, we have the reign of the Sovereign Christ. Then verses 7 through 10, we have the release of Satan and the final rebellion. Now let us look then at the first three verses. Here we have the restraint of Satan. Notice, first of all, the power that is exerted. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, first of all, then, the power that is exerted is a power from heaven, an angel, a servant of God. It teaches me this, that this angel is empowered to do six things. First of all, he is to capture the enemy, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon. He's able then to capture the enemy. The second thing is he's able to chain the enemy. The third thing is this, he's able to cast him into the pit, the bottomless pit. Then he is able to shut him in that pit. He is able to seal him in the pit. Then he has the ability and the authority, the power, to loose him after the 1,000 years of his captivity. These are the things that this angel has the power to do. Now we ought to face this and face it well. When the old devil, Satan, entered into the Garden of Eden, he was able to deceive Mother Eve and to cause the downfall of Adam. Right down through the years, the devil has been exerting his power upon humanity. He also endeavored to overthrow the Lord at the time of the temptation, but was unable to do so. Now it teaches me this lesson, that none of us, no matter who we may be, there's not a man or a woman alive today who has the power within themselves to overthrow the power of Satan. Satan, the arch enemy, is more powerful than any of us. The only way in which we can resist the devil, the only way in which we can defeat the devil, is under the power of the Holy Spirit. For the power of the Spirit is greater than the power of the enemy. And only in the power of the Holy Spirit are we able to live a victorious life. Here I find this, that when Satan is to be taken captive, God sends a mighty angel down from heaven. So the power that is exerted is a power from heaven. Then we have the prisoner exposed. Again we have this fourfold description of the foe. Notice what he is called. Verse 2 says, and he laid hold on the dragon. That's number 1. Then he is called that old serpent. That's number 2. Then he is called the devil. That's number 3. And Satan. That's number 4. Now, these names or titles are not used indiscriminately. There is a meaning behind them all. When our enemy is named the dragon, that sets him forth as the destroyer, and he has been a destroyer and a murderer from the very beginning. Remember, my friend, your enemy is a destroyer. He's called the dragon. He's also called that old serpent. Now, as the serpent, you will remember how subtle he was, and he was a deceiver. It was as a serpent that he deceived Mother Eve. The serpent is very subtle and is a deceiver. Satan, when he is portrayed to us as the old serpent, remember that's his character as a deceiver. So your enemy is not only a destroyer, he is a deceiver. He can come like a roaring lion, you know, to destroy. Or he can come like an angel of light to deceive. Then he's also called the devil. Now, the idea of the devil means he is the accuser. He is the one who accuses God's people. You know, he was the one who tried to accuse Job. And he'll accuse us. He's the accuser of all God's people. He's the devil. But he's also called Satan. Satan is a word that means he is the adversary. He's not your friend. Yet people today have been so dragged down, so confused in their thinking, that they're actually worshipping the devil, worshipping Satan. We saw from chapter 13 that in the end age, in the tribulation years, men will be willing to accept the mark of the beast. They'll fall down and they'll worship the image of the beast, and they'll worship the dragon who gave the beast his power. Plain words, they are worshippers of the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, who is also called Satan. But here in this verse, he is exposed for what he really is. He's your enemy. And the Bible tells us we are not to be ignorant of his devices. The Christian today is opposed by a threefold enemy: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Remember, my friend, the devil never yet was anyone's friend. He's their enemy. He seeks to destroy. Then again, the purpose is explained. With the devil held as a captive, he'll be unable to deceive the nations. That's what's said in verse 3. That he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Now let me remind you then, if there has been deception amongst the nations, and if nations have been deceived, you can trace it right back here to its root cause. Here is the person who has been deceiving the nations. His name, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan. He has been the deceiver of men. He has been the deceiver of nations. So we have the restraint of Satan in these opening verses, a power exerted from heaven, the prisoner exposed for what he is, and then chained, and the purpose is explained. For 1,000 years, he'll be unable to deceive the nations. Now let me remind you that during the tribulation period that we have studied in the previous chapters, you will have an absent Lord, an absent church, and an absent Holy Spirit. But there will be a present devil, and the beast, and the false prophet, these enemies of God. And during that time, there will be much confusion, and death, and destruction. But now when you come to this term, and this place here, the era of time introduced in chapter 20, when the devil is taken and bound and cast into the bottomless pit. We notice from chapter 19 that the Lord has come back. We have a present Lord and now an absent devil. Where there is a present Lord, the Prince of Peace, and the devil is bound, or you will have the reign of the Sovereign Christ. And surely it will be a reign of peace. The first thing to notice is this. You have the competence of the king. The king has returned. The king was the one who delighted the heart of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth when the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." His life on earth delighted the heart of his Father. He also was the one who had the power to destroy the enemy. When he went to Calvary, he there, as it were, placed his foot on the head of the great destroyer and destroyed him with the power of death, and was able to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. So not only was he competent to delight the heart of the Father, he was competent to destroy the power of the enemy. He was competent to deliver those who had been bound by Satan. And this is the one who has come back to reign. Then we're faced here not only with the competence of the king, but the companions of the king when he comes back. We noticed in chapter 19 that when he was coming out of heaven, that the armies of heaven came with him. A whole army of people coming out from heaven, following him who was on the white horse. And may I suggest to you that when he comes out with the great armies of heaven coming with him, the redeemed church will be there, for the simple reason that that's the wife. She was the bride, married to the bridegroom, and now she comes out as the wife of the Lamb. Or the redeemed church will be with him when he comes out. The resurrected saints will be with him. For verse 4 says, "I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You have the resurrected martyrs, those who were martyred for their testimony during the time of the great tribulation. They are resurrected and will be with him in his glory when the king is seen as King of kings and Lord of lords. And the saints will be with him. Those even from Old Testament times, I believe, will be there. So you'll have the armies of heaven coming out with them. They'll be the companions of the king. But then there is the character of the kingdom. You know, some people do not believe that Christ is coming back to reign. They don't seem to understand this one little bit. But may I suggest to you, my friend, the Bible makes it perfectly clear that our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon he'll come in power. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by. Yes, he's coming to reign. And in this particular portion, the 1,000 years is mentioned no less than 6 times. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. Now, his reign shall be in righteousness. Away back in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 32, here's what I read. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." He's coming to reign. He'll reign in righteousness. We've never had a righteous reign. But then something more will take place. It will be a time of peace. People shall live in peace, and the earth shall bring forth plentifully. Listen to this again from Isaiah's prophecy. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. You see, he's going to reign. He'll reign in righteousness. He'll also live in peace, and the people shall live in peace, be a reign of peace, for he is the Prince of Peace. And then the earth shall bring forth plentifully. The continuance of his kingdom will be for 1,000 years. His reign will be without interruption. But then at the end of that 1,000 years, we come now to verses 7-10. Here is a portion of the scriptures that have proved very difficult for some folks to understand. But my friend, you don't require to understand everything that's in the Bible before you believe it. Don't question what God does. God is sovereign, and God has the right to do what he wills. And if you question what God does, then you question the fact that he is God. Now watch. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now some folks ask the question, why? Well, there must be a reason for Satan's release, and God knows exactly why he's letting him out for a little season. May I suggest this? He's only in the bottomless pit during the 1,000 years, and that will not be his final abiding place, as we'll see in a moment. There's a reason for Satan's release, no doubt, and God knows the reason. It may be as a test again for those who have enjoyed the peaceful reign of 1,000 years. Will they be content to honor the king and to bow the knee to the king, or are they ready for another rebellion against him? Then there will be the results of Satan's release. Watch what he'll do. He'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. I've explained to you already, he was a deceiver. And even after he's been bound 1,000 years, there's no change with him. And there's no change in the natural hearts of men, for when he comes out after 1,000 years, and men have enjoyed the very finest form of government that it's possible for them to have, living under the rule of righteousness, with plenty for everybody, and peace, they're still ready to follow up and come into the ranks of the enemy, and he goes out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And then we come to the ruin that comes from Satan's release. Now remember this, every dispensation in the Word of God has finished with man a complete failure and God acting in righteous judgment. And the millennial reign of Christ will be no exception. When God placed man in the garden, he started him off with the very finest of environment. It finished with man a complete failure. When God turned them out of the garden, he clothed them with coats of skin and showed them the way of approach. That finished in complete rebellion, and God had to come in and destroy the world with a flood. When God set men under the law, remember, they said, we will do, and yet they refused to obey the law, and the age of law finished with man in complete rebellion, saying, we have no king but Caesar, and they crucified the Christ. Here we are in the age of grace, God willing to save men, and evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and the only thing left is for God to come in judgment. Then at the end of the millennial reign, man again will rebel against God. And here is what will happen at verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, they're still there after 1,000 years, and he's cast in beside them. And remember, while there's a way into the lake of fire, there's no way out. There you'll be tormented day and night forever and forever.